So this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT, and poor Tony Lee has had to listen to all this. Are you there, Tony?
I am, Phil. Hi.
Thank you very much for being with us. Remind everybody, Tony Lee is the author of The Truth About the 37 Oshawa GM Strike. It is published by Baraka Books. Anybody connected with organized labor ought to have a copy. Anybody who cares about the issue of Canadian working class and its history has to have this book. Tony, you have done something I think is a really important contribution. There have been others also speaking up on this, but you've done, seems to me, a very helpful thing. You've written a thesis called Theses. I'm learning how to pronounce. Tasks of the Working Class in the Trump Tariff Crisis, called the March Thesis. Tasks of the Working Class in the Trump Tariff Crisis. And the first thing you take up is the working class and the billionaire class do not have common interests in this crisis. What do you mean by that?
That's a direct response to the people who are saying that we should have a Team Canada and we're all in the same team. Our corporations, our governments, and labor, which ends up being, the junior partner. And I'm arguing that we don't have common interests. The workers are fighting against those corporations and most of those governments all the time to protect the interests of workers. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be wrong to say now we should subordinate ourselves to them and all be on the same team.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's been a team meeting, right? And I think we interviewed you about it. But what did you think of the way that was put together?
That's right. There's actually a couple of bodies that the former Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, created. One is called the Prime Minister's Council on Canada-U.S. Relations. And he picked who was going to be on it, the Prime Minister. Liberal Party leader. And there's corporate leaders on there. There's some politicians and former politicians. And he named a senator who used to be connected with the labor movement, I guess used his connections with the labor movement to gain a Senate seat, Hassan Youssef, and the leader of Unifor, Lana Payne. And that's particularly odd because as the purported labor representative on this body, Unifor is not a member of the Canadian Labor Congress, the main central labor body of Canada. And nobody in the labor movement chose Lana Payne to be on that body. As good or as bad as she might be, she wasn't chosen by the labor movement. She was chosen by the Prime Minister. And I don't think that that's the way that the labor movement should be operating right now, and certainly not the way that will best represent the interests of the working class in this country, because we have no engagement of the working class in those decisions or what ideas are put forward, what proposals are being made. The other body was even worse because it was called the... I don't remember the exact name of it, but another industry council, and it's led by the CEOs of two major corporations, and again, it's almost all corporate CEOs and executives and a couple of labor people. So this kind of approach to dealing with the crisis is certainly not going to get us anywhere, because it reproduces what has created the crisis, which is our subservience to corporations.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, you follow labor. Here we have a thing called the what's the latest name for our free trade partners, Mexico and the United States?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's got different names in different countries, USMCA.
Yeah. So if we look at that, step back and say, okay, where is labor? The AFL-CIO is failing almost worse, right? I mean, as far as I know, they're not part of the, they're going to have any meetings with Trump, And they're divided on the subject of tariffs.
Yes. Within the AFL-CIO, some unions, like the steel workers, notably the machinists, have opposed the tariffs that Trump has been implementing or announcing. And some unions, like the UAW, have said that they can support tariffs if they're done the right way. I don't think they've done a very good job of explaining what the right way is. But you're right, they're divided. And they also, I have seen no real evidence that either the AFL-CIO or any of its affiliates have made any major effort to reach out to unions and workers in Mexico to ask them what they think of the tariffs. And those unions that have some members in Canada, like the steel workers, have said they oppose the tariffs. But I don't think that there's been serious discussion between the major labor bodies in Canada, CLC in the U.S., and in Mexico. Certainly the major body is the CMT. And I don't think anybody asked them what they think of it. And that's one of my points, is that international solidarity of workers is really required in this situation. And the starting point has to be discussions between the bodies that represent workers in those three countries, so that we can try to find out and establish what our common interests are and develop a common program.
And I saw an article by author's name is King, and it was written in the Maple about this. I mean, he picked up on some of your themes, I believe. And it's encouraging, by the way, more voices are speaking up. But he pointed out, that when Mexico comes up in the discussion, it sounds like a colonial mindset. Is it, it's just, you know, it has a big M on the border and a flag, but no one knows any of those labor. We don't hear from them. We don't see them, and they're not even taken into consideration.
It's exactly a colonial mindset, and we've talked about this before. That one of the first reactions of governments in Canada was to say to Trump, don't pick on us, you know, you should be going after Mexico and China, of course. The major labor bodies have, a lot of them have fallen into that same mindset of viewing Mexico as the problem, or wanting the U.S. government to attack Mexico so that it doesn't attack workers in Canada. And it's particularly galling when, if you look at it, you can see that the labor movement in Mexico has achieved things that would be an absolute dream for workers in the United States or Canada. We should be learning from them, taking our lead from them, not throwing them under the bus, so to speak.
Yeah, they have one of the most popular governments in their history, and it is a progressive government. These are people who fought the old establishment, and particularly the oligarchs of Mexico were running the country like it was a plantation. And it took them years. Unite, and all the political base of President Sheinbaum is working class, and she has introduced reforms. You would think that the minimum AFL-CIO, CLC, Unifor, steelworkers would be to acknowledge that the working class of Mexico produced a leadership that cares about them.
Yes, exactly. And we talked about some of the points, but just one of the striking ones is the minimum wage. In Mexico, the minimum wage has been doubled in the last 4 years. Doubled.
Yeah.
And
worthy of mention, one would think.
I think it's, you know, a good starting point. In Ontario, The minimum wage has been increased from 2019 to today, 6 years, 18%. That's 3% a year. You know, we should be looking at that. They've got legislation introduced to reduce the work week, to increase the statutory Christmas bonus. This is a law that all companies must pay the equivalent of 15 days wages at Christmas. They're going to increase that to 30 days wages. They have the chair law to make sure that particularly retail and service workers have time to rest during their work shift. They have legislation to require that app-based contractors, the workers for companies like Uber and so on, are classified as employees and recognized with the rights of workers. These are all things that we would love to have if we could get them. And they have a government, because of the activity of the working class and the labor movement in Mexico, is putting those proposals into legislation.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking to that point, if you listen to Canadian or U.S. Labor leaders, they are very disparaging and dismissive of Mexican unions, but those unions supported, it was organized labor. Not, I couldn't say that every one of them, but definitely organized labor in Mexico fought to put this reform and progressive government in power. So how could, why would we dismiss people who put in power a government that doubled the minimum wage? You would think, congratulations, I need to get to know you.
Yes, that's exactly my point, and that's what we should be doing. And we got a long road to follow before we get to that point, because the current leadership of most unions in Canada, and I dare say in the U.S., hasn't recognized that point. One thing that we talked about some while ago on your show was the meddling of the U.S. government and the Canadian government in Mexico in a wide range of areas, but particularly in labor. And both governments have committed millions of dollars to foster some labor organization that they want to see succeed. And it's not done through or with the support of the labor movement in Mexico. It's them choosing some groups that they want to support. The U.S. government over a number of years put $180 million into this effort, and the Canadian government $27 million. And it's funneled through organizations like Unifor. Unifor got a $5 million piece of that to go and support some union organizations in Mexico that are not part of the central labor body of Mexico. And without knowing all of the details, we should be asking ourselves, what is that about? What are the goals of the U.S. government and Canadian government in doing that? Is it out of their concern to improve the conditions of workers in Mexico? They don't show the same concern the workers in Canada. So maybe it's something else.
Yeah. And you could probably comment, they use the word independent. We're giving this independent man millions of dollars. He's independent.
They say that, yes, their goal is to support independent unions in Mexico, independent unions that they fund. That's a funny definition of independent.
Yes. One assumes that the person who pays the piper might have something to say about the tune. This is Tony Leo. By the way, he is the author, I've got about a minute or so to go, he's the author of The Truth about the 37 Oshawa GM strike. You need this book to understand, for background, what's going on. Very quickly, there still has not been a meeting between Unifor and the United Auto Workers, and they're at loggerheads on the issue of tariffs.
There was a meeting in November before all of this hit, and they said they were going to have continuing meetings. I'm not aware of any follow-up meeting or even discussions. And I think that's shortcoming. Yeah. I should mention, since we have short time, that the theses that I put forward to try and help us guide our way through this crisis are on the Unifor Solidarity Network website, which is solinet.ca, solinet.ca.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very, there they will find the Marx theses, tasks of the working class in the Trump tariffs crisis, right?
Correct.
Get that, make copies, pass it out to your fellow workers. Tony Leo, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Phil.
This is, or has been, the Taylor Report, and Steve Fruitman, 33, 45, 78 is coming up.